Thank you, Mrs. Forrest.
I've met with them. Always ones want to come, bearing whatever they went to find back to lay at the altar and say, we did it. When you don't really know what it is you've done. If you cannot have in your hand that which you thought was the gold or the golden egg. I did not say gold, I said gold, G-O-A-F. So that we don't get confused about what it is we are hoping to attain. They made such progress that it is beyond your thinking. Because they were where they were supposed to be. To receive what I needed to share with them, to get it to the proper parties, to get the information out there. And everything will come in its own proper sequence, or it won't come at all. That's up to you. Each of us will do the best we can. And just to satisfy curiosity, I will not jeopardize either the progress or the persons. When you need help, help will come. I have one or two in still total shock from some of the events that have happened in the last few days. These are, in some instances, very private. The team has to come into full realization of what we're trying to accomplish. And in the beginning, it is totally clouded by all of the misinformation and experience of any past expression. I'm not worthy of doing this because I did that. And any time you're moving into anyone who was experiencing, say, with government, intelligence, the CIA, any of these major special forces operations, usually started as children, eager for the excitement. This was, you know, a golden crown. This is not something heinous. This is a golden crown on my head. And now I get guns and I am trained and, man, I know what I'm doing. And the more clandestine the organization and the more clandestine and secret the operation, the more dangerous it is, and therefore I'm qualified to do it. And so they teach you karate and they teach you how to smuggle and they teach you how to kill. And so the young man is now brainwashed into that. Oh, this is exciting. Now, you don't ever get to have a conference meeting like this one in this room and say, now, guys, it's not even like your Air Force or whatever in the motion pictures where you sit and some commanding officer gets up and really explains everything. That's okay for some missions. But in the dark black missions, it's done by document. You don't know who sent it. It comes as a portfolio, usually. And very frequently, these operatives are told to read it and destroy it. So there's no record, you see. And in so many of those elite black organizations like Delta Force, Special Forces into Cambodia, etc. These are trained assassins. Trained murderers, killers. And they are so focused that that is going to happen. So help them. Bo Bright is a trained killer. He is of the elite trained assassins. He had Noriega in his gun sight when his mission was called. They live by the gun. Then, frankly, they expect to die by the gun. And then sometimes out of the brainwashing, the head pops up, the eyes come open, and oh my God. Now they want me to go do something really heinous, like kill one of my own government officials, like Kennedy. Or you name it, there'll always be one. And then they become paid mercenaries. And the thought of crossing over into goodness is hardly the thing to do this morning and live comfortably and happily ever after. Because you see, along with this is embedded a control chip. And your nice friends, once you have come under the shelter of God, may not be able to sway you. But they sure can make life hell for you. They can arrange that you have no memory for half a day, several hours. They can control you to the point that you will go into a depression or a rage that is all but uncontrollable, except for calling in God to keep you quiet. That is the only thing that will save you. And what does this government do? Gives you the document, sends you on your journey, and they know if they flub it, they're on their own. They know once they have created whatever they sent out there to create, the death of another, the death of a village, the whatever it is, and if anything goes wrong, again, they're on their own. Now, your teammates will endeavor to keep you alive or come get you. But I want to tell you something. Your government won't. And they're as apt to call off that rescue mission if you're in trouble as you are to fly with your wings. You know, I mean, come on. They're not going to send anybody after you. Unless you're not through with your mission. And if they have to, and you are now a threat, they'll kill you too. Well, I didn't really think, Uncle Sam, it would be quite like this. Well, then you didn't think right, did you, soldier? So when one swing around and see this wasn't it, man, this is wrong. You don't just say, well, good day, sir, I'm out. They're going to put you through interrogation and brainwashing like you cannot imagine before they're going to let you go. And then they may let you go on qualified discharge, etc., whatever, but if you ever open your mouth, you are dead meat. And finally, conscience, trying to stay alive in a society where no longer anything fits, will nearly drive a man insane. And they don't let up there, because now they've made a misfit of the person. And then they go to work on the family. And they will try to destroy the man through the family. They used the family both as threat and as a destructive measure to finally collapse the person into precipitation of some heinous illegal activity that they can sock them away. Or they're going to threaten you with harm to that family until you're immobilized. And if you still keep crawling along, they're going to give you hell every step of the way. And yet you know there will be no life for you in that arena. It means that I must stand and be a man in the eyes of God and myself, and trust in God to allow the rest to work itself out. God does not care a whit about what you were. Those are for your lessons. And you cannot change what you did. That's done. Forgive yourself, forgive everyone around you, but don't you forget not one detail. Because in the forgetting, you repeat. And that's exactly what the elite are about. To rewrite your history, give you enough generations here with non-information, and you don't even question it. You don't know to question it. And if you can get rid of everybody who is going to box up your story, the perception is that you will never be found out. Evil is always found out. It may take a whole heck of a long time in your perception, but it will out. So I repeat, God does not care what you were unless you didn't learn anything. And He cares only what you are in soul intent. Be sure your soul has the right intent. Because if it is the correct intent, the rest of you will follow. I go through that because many ones being, quote, called, we don't go out there, hey, Joe, hey, color gun man. But there will be responding. And usually when ones are unsuspecting that they even have a mission or shop, and they begin to wonder, well, why am I here? Why was I here when you were here? Why, you know. And you can spend all of your day and night trying to figure out all those little things. Just recognize that it's right. And you won't have to work blindly. You won't have to go out there and assassinate somebody. That's not our way. In fact, your nose may be a little tweaked if you try that way. And yet the knowledge gained of how to function in this world and get across borders and do the things that are going to have to be done to get a remnant through. We've got to have ones that know how to do it and do it well. We have to have ones that can defend key players against the assaults. They're already contracted out on them. Dorma? No. The ones that hold a contract on her are my enemies. And they better jolly well know it. and what you perceive is losing, and it is in this day-to-day perception of being live here. You better look again. It could only be your perception that you're losing. You're still around. You're still in the room. You're even in a better room. You're not in the street, sweetie. Your bathtub may be full of boxes, but you ain't in the street. And I don't give her time to walk in the neighbor's lot. The terror comes because you know there is no justice. If you went on the merits of the truth, there's no problem, is there? For 5 years, there would have been no problem in anything personal. But you're playing games against Satan. It comes down just that bluntly. And if I'm going to preach against Satan, my gosh, they have become a church, sure as world. And yet they're talking about CIA and Delta Force. Man, that's a crazy bunch, really. Nope, you're meeting reality, and it is terrorizing your enemy. The one thing your enemy, the adversary, cannot bear is for his actions to be made public. If there is a choice between truth and lie, he will lie every time, because he is birthed and grown and nurtured in deceit. They lie to you. They create the most heinous sexual acts for you and tell the world, this is glory, I have a right to go do this. I am a homosexual, but I have a right to experience as a heterosexual. What the hell are you talking about? Any heterosexual misbehaving and abusing responsibility is as dastardly as any one of the homosexuals practicing whatever they practice. But get this. They put it to you morning, noon, and night on the boob tube how wonderful all of this bed hopping is. How exciting and glorious. We'll hang from the ceiling tonight, darling. We don't want our marriage to be boring. Keep the lies alive. Why don't you just get busy on something worthwhile? And you won't worry about it. You'll be too damn tired to care. Much less consider hanging from the chandelier. Do not mix up love in these activities. Call it what it is. If you, in responsible behavior with a mate, wish to do these things, that is up to you. Whether I approve or not is absolutely immaterial. Even from hanging with the chandelier between you, above you, under you, with your neighbor's husband. That's your business. Do I approve it? No, but it's not my business. That's between you, that other party, or parties, and God. I can tell you the things that will pull you down from that behavior and that focus. I do not tell you what to do. You can get everything now from a deadly disease onto just a total screwed up life. And when you take the homosexual male and you call those things like fisting fun and sharing a loving experience, you are crazy. Ask anybody who's been to a proctologist to get your prostate checked. Increase it by 6 inches and think about it, gentlemen. It is pure, unadulterated self-punishment. I'm not going to analyze why. Well, they must be robotic. I don't care. And sometimes as a male energy man, I love the men better than I do the ladies. They just give me fits. Try to figure out a female mind when you're not as experiencing as one. But it doesn't mean I go hop in bed and do these incredible things to myself. And the one I just said I love, like possibly giving them a death disease in the process. It's called responsibility. They lie to you. It isn't fun. It is not fun. More than that, it is not satisfying. There is no peace involved. It is an excuse for lack of responsibility to join in great groups and go out there and make these big demonstrations. Naked or half naked to have my rights. And the world looks, and because you're told, you mustn't have an opinion about that. Or if you do, keep it to yourself, or it's anti-Semitic, it's anti-gay, it's anti. What is wrong with being anti-something? I, man, am anti-Christ, and it takes in all this. I serve with a master. And if you want me to be in your midst and say, oh, it's all right, darling. It ain't all right, darling. Does that mean you cannot serve with me? No, it means that you're going to have a lot to learn. Well, couldn't you learn a little bit, big boy? Indeed, and I have gone generation after eons of generations to learn it. And if you don't want my opinion, get thee from me. Do you hear me? Grandma says, well, you're always kicking people out. I don't kick anybody out. Everybody is welcome. I can't help it if ones don't want to stay. And if you don't want to function as we function, why would you want to be around us? This is what has shocked me, as I have witnessed. Why do ones who disagree, I don't force anybody to come here, and nobody else forces anybody to come here. It's not a church, not a group, really. It's just some friends who come, and we share some lessons, some teachings, some business to get on with our mission. And ones go out and they rattle, rattle, blabble, 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 I mean all over the nation about those terrible people. And then they threw me out. Well, what the hell were you doing here if you didn't like them? Well, I'm in the town. So what? Many of you got to the town after we did. But nobody reasons this out. You say you're a God, that means everybody. No, it doesn't, obviously. It must mean very few of us. Well, not even the evangelists like you. They sure don't. And what a relief. Does that mean that you cannot be strong enough in your connection with God to go to the local church and enjoy the truth that you will get, and the camaraderie that you will get, and the collection that you will get to pay? You nice Mormons will get to tithe, or you don't even get on the inside. Maybe down at the Catholic Church you can light a few candles and it'll work. Or you can confide. Well, why bother? Go back there and confide to Cleary. He won't even hold it against you and make you do absolution and Hail Marys. See, he just absoluted everybody right now with that. He spent 35 years to find the truth when he finally broke the tie. Does that mean that he has to give up all of those beautiful things that were there and that knowingness of a relationship with God? He would not be serving here as a foreign correspondent if he didn't reserve that first desire that said, I want to be married to the body of Christ. And just because you do that doesn't make that road easy. It makes it more difficult. And yet you are also taunted by and tempted by everything, including power. But nobody wants to learn from another. So every man, woman, and child wants to learn by experience. Well, let's talk about that a minute, especially the child. Well, I don't know if I'm doing a good job, Father, with my child. I mean, isn't it all right if I just let him watch television once in a while when I'm going insane? Yeah? Look at your children and you will see yourself and you won't like it. The reason you won't like it is because you will revel in the beautiful things they do, and that won't be questioned. And you will forget, literally, to pat them on the head and hug them and say, I love you, and that was beautiful that you did that. I'm not talking about the little scratchings that they do on their paper when they are nagging, Mommy, Mommy, I made this for you. I want you to watch them, what they do. Watch what they do when you discipline them. Do they stand there and defy you and say no? Then if you tell them again and again, what do they do? Do they obey then? You beat them? You scream at them? Or do they just say and leave? I'm not going to ask anybody in here to raise your hand and say, oh, mine do that. Because you know as well as I'm speaking that it is a total reflection of yourself. Well, spouse may say, that was a reflection of you. Watch the next thing they do. On the other hand, my friend, you better look very carefully at those children, especially when rifts break out in your marriage. Who do they reflect? In those things you wish they would not reflect, that you notice so much. If there is an ill behavior or an ill habit that annoys you in your spouse and you see it in the child, boy, you've nailed that one. How well can you see yourself reflected in the confusion of the child and in the rebellion of the child? Not rebellion as in, I'm going to get you. They are rebelling because they are like you. And they know exactly how to handle you. Are you willing to rise above that and say, man, I better look at myself and I better restructure here some way, so that they can then reflect the restructuring? Because a child knows you're not perfect, but he accepts you as perfect. You are his parent. And to allow a child to grow to hate you as a parent is a sad thing, because you have allowed it to misunderstand perfection. You've disappointed them. So start young. Tell Luke, tell Andy, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. My parents were not perfect, so I had no way to learn. I know I will make mistakes, but I love you. And I put no requirements on my loving you. I will discipline you so that you do not pay the same inner price that I have paid. That is responsibility. Not, I want more and I'm going to wait till Daddy gets here and it's Daddy's fault and etc. Well, if Mommy taught you better to respect me, or whatever the quarrel is, look at the child and look at yourself. And it's time you look honestly. Not because you can necessarily fix it from what has been, but you might be able to consider fixing it where it's at, or attempting a repair job. But almost more important than that is to recognize it exists so that you can move on, and so can the child. I'm not a marriage counselor. I should have been. Because it is so sad what has happened. The choices, you see, are made for the wrong reasons, almost inevitably. Why have you been married several times? Why have you not been married at all? What is your relationship? Why do you have this particular relationship if you have one? Have you looked at it honestly? Let us use as an example a white woman marrying a black man, or vice versa. You know it works vice versa. Or an Asian. Let us say a minority. God sees no color. You are created in the image of God, which is light. No skin. Sorry. Gonna be hard to find out. Many of the races on your place have been put down because of the color of their skin. And sometimes it is because of the involvement of the race and a physical environment. But I'm sorry, even if you've got crazy sickle cells in your blood and only comes that with a Negroid person, still no go with God. There ain't no blood or sickle cells in heaven. So, let's put that aside now and look at why you do what you do. Why will Mommy and Daddy be mad if I bring this black man home to dinner? And look who I brought, Mom. Because of their training, they're going to respond. And they're going to not be able to understand why you respond like you do, because they certainly taught you better to be bigoted, biased, prejudiced, whatever the going thing is. So you have to know yourself. Why did you get into the relationship? What do you actually think about that other? And this can go for handicap, colored, scarred, whatever the physical attribute that is somehow suddenly not acceptable. Why would you search out and attach to, say, a man with no legs? Or a twisted head, any kind of a handicap? Is it because you feel lesser, that you don't deserve more? Do you dishonor that other one because you cannot think highly enough of yourself? Do you attach to another race because I'll show them? I sort of like that one, and it's a minority, and it'll look really good if I do this. Or do you attach to that person because you have a bond and you love and honor that person? Not in a superior way, but in a lower way that says, I will serve you because I love you. Be careful what you do. Be honest about what you do, and the relationship will be cemented forever. And always look beyond in the physical, not to what you want, but especially if there are already children involved. You must, if you form a bond in marriage, what may happen. This is not usually a problem with a handicapped person. Because very frequently handicaps come up because of something after birth. If it is a genetic problem, you better look at it squarely, head on, to see if you can overcome those possibilities out here. Because pretty soon, people, if people just used what I bring to you, there's no need for genetic mutations. If you have an interracial marriage and you have children, you are going to have mixed breed. Now, why do you suppose there even got to be a rumor about stick to your own kind? Birds of a feather. All is BS. Because you must not think so solely of me that you cannot think wisely about the consequences and the responsibility of that relationship. And one say, well, but you don't like us living in sin either. What do you mean? Well, I mean, trial marriages, you know, I just know, Commander, that you would not go for that. What is a trial marriage? You either have a marriage or you don't, because that is a responsibility. if you assume the actions that come inside a marriage relationship, you've assumed a marriage, good or bad, is that. No, we're just dating. We're just really shacking up. Oh, that's good and responsible, safe sex. What do you know about that other party? Well, I know that she's a lot of fun. Oh, goody gracious. That's a good reason to base a relationship. I'm not against sexual activity. Surprisingly enough, once I was called a what? Overly? A thwarted? An unfulfilled? So, I mean, I had a whole... This one person really unleashed it on me. I mean, after all, sex was the way to open the gates of heaven, I was told, by the same one. I want to tell you, it is one of the fastest ways to get to hell that I know of. That does not mean that it is not a beautiful relationship, producing or not producing offspring, when shared in love and caring, when used to fill up your time or to get attention or to use as a weapon of power. It is a dastardly thing, and it is a destructive thing, and therefore that's why you have been so carefully taught to abuse it. And once abused, it becomes your kicking boy. I'm so bad, my God, it's worse than being an assassin. For goodness sakes, grow up. What do you want your child to see you doing? I'm going to remind you of something. God is with you everywhere you go. Do you take him to the gutter? Or do you, as within the group that we all giggle, knowing that you're under surveillance, do you suck in your tummy in the shower?
I do.
I know. Look what it is that you don't want anybody else to know, though. What do you do that you really don't want other ones to know? And what do you really think about your relationships that you have going? Just be responsible. And when you are responsible, you see, that means you consider you in the highest esteem. And what you have to offer, what you can accept, within my own limitations, I cannot accept that. I can participate, but not forever and ever. And I'm not impressed with a bunch of certificates. Sometimes I think if no one were allowed to make a contractual marriage until you're 95, it would certainly serve you better. Because eventually in your road of experience and play, you wouldn't have to bear the guilt of your wild oats. That would simply be an error. And maybe you wouldn't have 5 children to suffer your error. That's the sin of the father rested upon the child. And the child has no choice after he is born. He had that choice before he was born. You have to take that on my word. And each of you had your choice before you were born. So why are you kicking your parents now? You did it. Well, they could have done better. Yeah, they could have. They could have had some responsibility and you wouldn't even be around. So don't knock their errors either. You might not be around. And maybe that doesn't mean anything to you now, but just let me try to do anything to get rid of your life for you, and you argue about it. So quit kicking your parents. They did the best they could. Well, they sure could have done better. Yeah, they probably could have. But at the moment, they did what they did. Just as you do what you do. And invariably, it's easier to kick the parents than to accept the responsibility of whatever it is you are doing. And maybe I'll just flop that over onto that idiot husband.